Well, I will let you know about the rose up there. That's in honor of a grandchild born to Barry and Tracy Claggett. Kohana is her name. It means little flower. She was born on Friday. So we ask God's peace and joy be with her and with her family. And now we read the Gospel of Luke, where you've heard some of the story told. It's such a good question. What is a parable? A parable was a story where God, they wanted big explanations, and Jesus told a story. So here, again, one of the parables. It starts first with some practical advice from Jesus. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And one of the dinner guests who heard this story said to Jesus, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. And at the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, 'I have bought a piece of land. I must go and see it. Please accept my apologies.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please accept my apologies.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to the slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' The master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. We know quite a bit about receiving and giving of invitations. We know when it can feel just wonderful and when it can cause us pain. You know that joy of receiving a wedding invitation or an invitation to a big party, or when you were a child when you'd wait for a week and that small envelope would come in your mailbox with your name on it inviting you to a birthday party. Now, of course, you wait for an e-vite in your inbox, and you know you have a place to go. You also know some of the frustrations. Like, do you remember being back in elementary school, and your parents would make you invite everyone in the class to your birthday party, not just the people you liked? Or maybe you remember when an invitation went out and you waited for one and then you realized you would not be getting an invitation. And you'd say, "Oh, I didn't really want to go." But the truth was, it broke your heart. This is a story of an invitation being given and an acceptance. But it's more than just a casual invitation. It's an invitation to a banquet. A really big and important party. And who was invited, and who came, and who did not. And you're invited to hear this story today, and maybe even have a chance to accept an invitation. Parties or banquets or feasts in Jesus' day were much different. Of course, you know, there was no email or postal mail or telephone. Invitations would have to go out by word of mouth. A person in a household would have a special job that would go out and make invitations. And invitations came in twos. The first one went out to say there's a feast being planned at this particular time, probably narrowed it down to a week or so, and they needed a count of who would come. Because, of course, in that day, there were not supermarkets. You'd spend weeks and months ordering food for a feast. And feasts didn't last for just a couple hours. Sometimes they lasted for days, and there were rumors of weeks. So you would really need to know how many people were coming. And then an invitation would go out. A runner, a slave would go out and would ask, "Are you coming?" Tell them, not really ask, was just telling them the time and the day the feast would happen. See, everyone knew that there was going to be this feast. They just needed to narrow down the time. And that's kind of where we come in. The second invitation has been given, and people are supposed to be saying yes, and what we hear about is people making excuses. We're also experts on excuses. In my family, we talk about the red ant excuse. Now, it's not the little ones. When my mother would get a little irritated with my father, she'd talk about that aunt with red hair. And we didn't have any aunts with red hair. And finally, they told me the story. My father and mother were dating, and my father invited my mother to a big dance, you know, where you dress in the formal and you had the corsage. Well, he called up the day and said, "I can't go. My aunt is in town." My mother said, "Okay." Another friend of hers called her and said, I want to go to this dance. Can you go?" And she goes, "Yeah, Dave just said he couldn't come." So my mother wears that special dress, and she goes to the dance, and surprise, who's there? My father with his beautiful red-headed aunt. So if you made an excuse that wasn't really good in my house, the red-headed aunt was mentioned. Now it happens, like you say, you can't go to some event. Oh, I'm busy, and the person looks on your Facebook, and there you were out playing. It's even trickier now. But the excuses here were almost as bad as my father's. Well, they were worse, because they were lies, and you knew it just right on the face. The first one said, "I can't come. I have bought a piece of land, and I have to go check it out, and I need to send my regrets, my apologies." Now, that may sound pretty logical to us, but if you knew the Middle Eastern traditions in that day, you never bought a piece of land until you had walked every inch of it. And you would need to know what the family history was, who'd owned it, and their father, and their father. You'd have to know the history of the land. So to say, "I've bought land and I haven't looked at it," it's not true. My field is more important than you. And then comes the excuse, "I have bought 5 oxen and I'm going to try them out, so please accept my regrets or my apologies." Okay, this is another one of those lies they just would have known. Because in that day, if you were thinking about buying an oxen, you would go and check out that oxen. You would drive those oxen to see how they would do even before you began negotiations. It's just how you did it. So there's no way you would buy 5 teams of oxen without trying them out. Saying, "My oxen are more important than you." And then there's the excuse, "I've just married, therefore I cannot come." I mean, he's saying, "I'm busy with my own things. I am not coming. My own needs are more important than you." And there's not even an apology on this one. Did you notice that? "I'm just not coming." And so the host gets angry. And he sends out his messenger once again and says, "Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and tell them to come to the banquet." And the messenger does this, and there is still more room. And he said, "So go out into the city, into the rural lanes, and compel people to come. I want my house to be filled." It's like saying, "I've already invited everyone from San Francisco. I need you to go to Daly City, to Marin City, and all the way to Oakland and invite people for this feast." Now, I learned about the story when I was in middle school. I didn't know it was from the Bible. We had this song, "Oh, come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I have married a wife. I have bought me a cow." Now, we'd be really racist. We'd say, "Oh, I've married a cow. I've bought me a wife. Wah, wah, wah." I had no idea this was about a Bible story. I got it later. And then I said, "Oh, there is other things in that song." But it got it ingrained. See, Erwin, you know that song too. I should have asked you to sing it. Because I sing in the pulpit and they still don't invite me in the choir. But that's another pain we don't need to talk about. But it took me some, you know, I didn't get the depth of it. I learned this in middle school, probably some 35 years ago, and now I am starting to get the meaning, the further depth in this. And the song just invites me to go into it. It's not a simple story, it's a parable. And a parable was once described like a multifaceted jewel, that you'd look at it and you would see one angle and you turn it and you would see another, that you see and experience who God is. It doesn't give direct answers. It invites you to explore, to put yourself in the story of what is the kingdom of God. And you can kind of guess, if we push it, we know that God is the host, the homeowner, and we're the people who are invited. We're the ones that came, and we're the ones that make excuses. God is inviting us to be a part of God's self, to be part of God's kingdom. And the truth may be, in polite and not so polite ways, we may say, not now, you're not so important to me, I don't have time. But the truth is, I think all of us would have said yes to that first invitation because you're in church today. Be ready, there's a time. It's kind of, yeah, I'm going to come. And maybe that means that you got that fifth grade Bible. Did you all have one of those with your name on it? I wonder if it sits up on the shelf. I went to an estate sale yesterday and I found a worn Bible, 1937, the woman's name on it. Had never been used. That's kind of that first invitation. Maybe you have a reason, but what this is doing is saying, I want you to have something more than that. It's great you're here, but the story is saying in a second invitation, it's will you really come? Will you open yourself up to God's presence? Will you come and commit yourself, or at least be willing to ask the questions, to know God and know God's ways? It's kind of what's happening in here. But the truth is, friends, sometimes we make some excuses. We say, oh, you know, I had a bad experience in church once. I'm not coming back. Or, you know, I like this, but I don't really understand it. Or it's a beautiful day outside. Or we say, I really want to know more and be spiritually fed, but I don't have time for a Bible class or anything else. We're really busy. Sometimes I kind of feel like we and the pastor wants fast food, you know, a happy meal and a prize. And God's talking about a slow food nation. We're saying, make it easy, Maggie, entertain me, give me answers. I want my sermon written in an hour. Well, you know, it's slow food. It doesn't happen that way. It's a feast. It takes time. And sometimes the food is great and sometimes not. But we're here. Or maybe we have some of those excuses in prayer. I'll pray when I have a free moment. Right, when does that happen? Or we're like those landowners or the oxen owners. You know, we've got things that really do take our time. We've got jobs. We've got worrying about having jobs. If we don't have them, we're worried about everything. We have habits. We have things to do. I mean, I've got to tell you, San Francisco is a busy city to live in. There's like this franticness to just survive here. I mean, nothing is really easy. It's wonderful, but it's complicated. I'll spend time with you, God, when I have some extra time. I wonder if that story of looking at that jewel of the parable saying, okay, what's in my way of saying yes to that second invitation to really come, to really seek God, to know more? For choice really is an important part in the story. Everyone is invited to this banquet. We may be the ones who got invited first, we may be the second, we're in the third. The issue is God keeps on inviting, but there's a choice to say, yes, I am coming. I'm caught with the story that God is kind of asking us not to have a light little hunger, but a big hunger. We're not talking appetizer faith. We're talking meal faith. Will you come and work on a yearning? Work through your uneasiness, work in those big questions that we ask that may not have answers, but we do them together. Will you bring that kind of hunger to the table? It's an interesting question. And what I'm also caught with this, which I never noticed when I was 13 singing so well, is that Jesus says the host gets angry. It's God getting angry. We want this happy meal, God? Not so much. This is a God who has put out a feast of forgiveness, of love, of presence. I will be with you. And we have said no, and God gets angry. I don't think it's completely just anger at us. I think it's anger of having this bounty and no one is coming. I think it says, I want everyone here. So God uses that and invites everyone, the poor, the lame, the blind. And I think, as I said in the children's story, maybe even the people who said no at first. Because the story doesn't end there. That servant goes out and invites the poor and the blind and the lame. What they're saying here is that the one society doesn't value very much, who is not important. The imperfect, the homeless, the mentally ill, the people who speak before they think. It's the old, it's those young people up in the Haight-Ashbury that drive people crazy. It's those that have been broken by divorce or death or hard circumstances. It's the immigrants. It's the people who have lived here forever. It's the slow. It's the too fast. It's the unwanted. It's everyone is invited. I wonder if you hear me say that and you go, well, that's me. We're the ones who have been lonely and unloved and sometimes just thick and hopeless and broken and human, and we're invited, and God still invites us. God's love really is like that mother who says, everyone comes to this feast. If you like them or not, everyone has a place at this table. And what I'm caught about parables is how they have those different levels and those different angles. There is a sense in this that it's not just talking about us being fed, but everyone being cared for. I drove up to Idaho for my vacation. I know everyone goes to Boise, but I did. I went to go visit one of my friends that is in her very first church. It's about the same size as this one, has about the same staff. And she said, well, I've only had a couple people leave the church. And I thought, oh, it's because you're a woman. She's new at this. And she said, oh, not really. I put something up on the signboard. They have those ones where you have to change it every week. She put something. She said, social justice preached and lived here. And she had someone leave the church. She goes, I don't want any of that social justice stuff in the church. It's not supposed to be here. And she said, she's wise. She went to seminary. She goes, huh, can you tell me some more about that? And the person said, well, I've been listening to a radio show. I bet you can, Glenn Beck. He said, the church should never be involved with social issues. That's not what we're about. And then her seminary training went, and she goes, have you read about Jesus? Lime, blame, you know, blind, hopeless, us. And the person left the church. Kind of broke my friend's heart, but she knew about this Jesus that says we get ourselves in uncomfortable places. If you wanted a clean place to eat, not so much. Because when we love, it means we do things are hard. It means we may, well, we are going to have a food pantry up here again, and we're going to try it with six other churches and interfaith, and we'll see how it works. It's not going to go smoothly. You're going to have to learn how to do it, but people will be fed. I think of Janie Spar, a Presbyterian minister who was brought up on charges because she married men to men and women to women, and she did it because she felt God's love is for everyone. And it's in all the papers, and it's everywhere, but she did it because she thought God's love works in that way. It means the invitation goes out to care for people, for those in the family of faith, and for those that are the hardest to love. That we care for the people within these fine walls of old first and we care for people outside of these walls. That's what it means to say yes to God's invitation. The parable ends and there is still more room. God's love is endless, and God's love is big enough to hold everyone. There is even room for us. It's an unfinished story. It's an open-ended story. And each time when we receive and serve communion at this table, there's an invitation to eat with the risen Lord. To remember it's the Christ who invites us and keeps on inviting us. When we eat that bread, when we share that wine, we do it believing or struggling to believe that the invitation is for us. And all have a place at this table of God. So RSVP to God. Stop making excuses. Because the truth is, you're invited. There is a place for you. You just have to come. Come to the banquet. The feast is laid. Amen.